Hello, everyone. Welcome to this technically special meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee of the Kinston Fire Protection District. It is Tuesday, March 28th at 4:12 p.m. We are ready to get started. Let's begin by taking roll. Director Badugo.
Here.
And I'm Director Levine. For public members, Doug Bevington. Lisa Corona.
Here.
Katie Book is not here. Peter, well, we'll get to Peter. Paul.
Here.
David.
Here.
Okay. And we have one member joining remotely, Peter Mattel. In order for Peter to join remotely, we need to make a motion to allow it. So I move to allow Peter Mattel to attend this meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee remotely.
Second.
There's at least 1 second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No opposed. Motion carries 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 0. That's a number that you don't usually count. So great. And Peter, are you online?
Yes, I can't get any video of me, but that's probably good.
I can't hear. You didn't unmute yourself, but I didn't hear the sound.
Yes, I have audio, but I can't get any video of me, but I can see all you guys. Can you hear me?
I mean, is your sound on your computer?
Hello? Can you hear me?
He's coming through.
Yeah,
I guess he is. My computer.
Well, we'll need it for later, so.
Yeah.
Tim, do you have volume? Peter, can you try again?
I'm trying. It's now unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Ah, well then.
Excellent. Okay. So we are all intact. Moving to public comments. The public may address. This is not quite right, but that's okay. For any items currently on the agenda, is there any public comments for items on the agenda? Seeing none, let's move on. Let's move on to new business. So the first item is Emergency Preparedness Committee application. And Chen is on the item. So Chen, take it away.
Yes, there was, by the deadline of time, there was one application received. Oh, by the way, I'm Tim Barrett, the general manager of our district. We have had one application, Adrian Johnson. And that is in your packet to review and discuss. What's your recommendation to work?
I guess we have one applicant, and we normally have one open spot in the extent that we have spots. I have actually spoken to Adrian in person. He seems motivated to be more involved in the community, and EGC is a good way for people to get involved. So from my perspective, she seems great. We can recommend her to the board for appointment. What say the rest of you?
I looked at her application. I think she'd be a good addition to the board. I would certainly vote her in.
Yeah. Just to chime in, I mean, it would have been, this is pretty short application, I guess. So I think it would be nice, maybe in the future, to have people who apply to come to the meeting as well, so we get to meet them. I mean, we had an opportunity to talk to her, which I think is fantastic. fantastic. So that's greatly appreciated because it's kind of hard to tell sometimes because it's limited.
I like your emphasis on communication and outreach, and hopefully that's coupled with follow through that she's talking about. And if so, I like the application.
Let's also let the record show that Katie Buck is now joining us in person. So, Katie, are you here?
I am.
Great. the slightly belated roll call. All right. So, do we want to take a formal motion to recommend Adrian Johnson to be appointed to the EPC? Recommending it to the board to appoint Adrian Johnson to the EPC?
So moved.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Technically, computers are not really doing the call roll, but we don't really, because we're being very loose.
So there was only one application. For the EPC.
May I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I read that you're very eager to learn about the preparedness and garner strength and all that. And yet I also noticed that you have no background in emergency preparedness, no sir, no FEMA training, nothing, but you are eager to learn. And I'm thinking that, and my thought was that perhaps it would be more beneficial to the group and to you if you started at maybe perhaps volunteering with Johnny, because Johnny does the type of thing that you do, with outreach to people and event planning and things of that nature, rather than becoming a full-on voting member of the preparedness committee, in which you don't really have a background at this point, but that you want to learn. But if anybody else is not even with me, I'm going to thought that. But that's how I feel.
It's a good point. Unfortunately, she's not on the call.
Oh.
but yes, we discussed that perhaps in the future we didn't actually invite them to come and come in person. That maybe in the future when we have an application, we tell them that they should come.
Yeah, you know, I think that. People that are going to be on this committee should have some sort of a background in this. Otherwise, it's going to be time consuming. We're going to be asking questions, we're going to be floundering around. And that's not what we're about. We're supposed to, I think we should be a preparedness committee that starts to get things done. Mm-hmm. And training is wonderful, but not, you know, as a member, bring that to us.
So I have a question. So Don, were you interested? Don, were you interested in being a member too?
Yes, I just have been so busy that I have not followed through. So,
oh, okay. Yeah.
So yes, I more on my plate. So I'll get it done.
Okay.
Call up and knock on my door or something. Make sure it gets done.
Well, let me just say that based on what Katie is saying, would it make sense then to set up some criteria that individuals who want to apply would have to meet before we would consider their selection, or would it more be they put in an application, they come here, we listen to their background, if you will, and discuss whether they are, quote, eligible for this committee. Frankly, I don't know, you know, how much emergency preparedness expertise one needs for this committee. I mean, I guess you could say some of us have dabbled a little bit in it. I certainly, when I joined this, I didn't have very much experience in emergency preparedness, and I assume others did not. So if we're going to have some type of a litmus test, we should clearly define what that is.
Yeah.
Certainly, before we bring other people, anyone else here to
interrogate them, it would be wrong.
Well, it's not, I don't think it's so much to be interrogated to make us only sort of an elitist group, but I do believe that people should come with some knowledge, some background, so they're just not, okay, well, I'll vote on something, but you don't have.
Well, again, Katie, I don't know what that background is. You know, what are the criteria that one would want in a resident to be on this committee? I mean,
I haven't read her application, and then her background is in event planning or reaching out to people, encouraging people. That would sound like the kind of work that Johnny's doing with building groups. I think, you know, and Johnny, I am so often, it's really, I mean, he's like slammed with work and just, you know, over his head. And this would be a very good place for her to learn and to bring the skills that she already does have that are well honed and employing them in that area. And at the same time, while she's doing that, she'll be learning about emergency preparedness things, and then come back and submit the application so that she's bringing, so then she'll have an actual preparedness skills that she's bringing to the party. And so just coming in to learn while she's here, and the first year to bring to learn, she said, wow, you're always going to learn, but I mean, already knowing something about it. So that's my feeling. What do you think?
Yep. I think that, as David's implying, I don't think it's that hard to learn about emergency preparedness generally. For example, you ever seen a course on emergency preparedness? I haven't anywhere, which means it really is. It's just a basket of different things that amount to preparedness. And I think our biggest challenge is the thing she seems to be the strongest in, and that is outreach and motivating the Kensington public. That's, I think, what Johnny's working on and has done a great job, but it could definitely use more emphasis. I really think it's our biggest challenge, is the Kensington, somewhat what I would call the apathy toward certain things like this. And she has the background, motivation, outreach, communication. The rest, I think, you could pick up pretty quickly to do.
Lucy, you want to add something?
I just in listening to this conversation, I mean, I think this group, I don't know that there's a defined number of people who can be on this committee. So, you know, if people really have a strong interest and have skill sets that are usable for what we're trying to do, and a lot of what we've done is communication with the door hangers and, you know, working on different initiatives for the public information. So, you know, I personally think taking these applications, you know, one at a time, I think it'd be important to be able to ask people questions in the future. That would be good. But I think we can be open to a lot of different people from a lot of different aspects and not necessarily create a bureaucracy around the selection process and spend time working on that. That's just my two cents.
From my perspective, I like to encourage any resident, if they show an active interest in participating in the important work that we hope to do both in this committee and generally with various K groups in Kensington, I would always encourage people to.
I will say that I came in with no emergency preparedness, really. I mean, I did with the school, but I mostly came bringing just my hazard background. But so, I don't know if I would have qualified or not.
I'd say probably even less background when I ran for the board. there's a diversity of opinions, but there is a general sense, maybe still from some people, that they would like to recommend. Well, in that case, there is a disagreement of opinion. Let's actually have a vote. Well, we sort of half did, and then Okay. Technically it needs to be a roll because Peter's remote.
Okay, perfect.
So in that case, we'll do this properly. We had a motion and a second. Director Verdugo, this is, the motion is to recommend Adrian Johnson for appointment to the Emergency Preparedness Committee.
To the board.
To the Board of Directors.
Yes.
Doug Bennett.
Oh, you're voting on it?
Yes.
Yes.
Lisa.
Yes.
Katie. Peter. Peter.
You're muted.
Yes.
Okay. Paul.
Yes.
Dave.
Yeah.
Me. Yes. Sorry. I didn't say it about can you count? I kind of,
was there one nay?
Yes.
There was one nay. Okay. I think it's six yes and one nay. Okay. So motion carries. Let's move.
Am I allowed to make a phone or no?
Sure.
I was going to say maybe something like requiring the attendance of 3 EPC meetings before being able to apply. So that way they get a sense of what's going on.
Yeah, I think the next time we have an application, we should discuss more actively what we would like.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the draft work plan.
This is no part of the
plan. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good point. I had seen there was one person. Oh, there's two people remote. But no public comment.
Yes,
great. Thank you. Moving on to the draft work plan. Last meeting, we had discussed this sort of rough idea of stuff we thought this committee could reasonably tackle in a year. We brought it back to the whole board of directors at our March 20th meeting. That meeting was very quite long, so we didn't spend a lot of time discussing it, but we sort of caught up the other members of the board on the idea of the work plan, and we requested that they come back with feedback and whatnot for our April regular meeting. In the meantime, there were some comments that we did receive from the board that maybe we might want to incorporate now.
You want me to go through this?
That would be great.
Yeah. Okay. During the discussion of the work plan, there were several opinions expressed by the other board members. The first one was from Jim Watt, and he especially wanted to know what can we do to get the East Bay Regional Park to do more about reducing the fire load on our shared wildlife-urban interface, or WUI. And so after he expressed that, later on, I added that I had intended for us as a committee to add a task that is more fire related. And I wanted, with a focus on fire hardening activities and goals and potentially programs to help support Kensington residents to help fire harden their homes, maybe perhaps provide, at-cost supplies, screens, et cetera. Those are generally the ideas. So we were talking about incorporating Jim's focus on engaging with the East Bay Regional, if we can, or suggestions on how to engage East Bay Regional Club in addition to that, the fire hardening. So one task, focus on fire, how to engage East Bay Regional, and also fire hardening. How can we help Kensington be better? So that was one of the things. Then Julie had comments about multiple work tasks. She, as I think you all appreciated the structure of having a work plan and maybe some goals to help further and get recognition for the tasks that the EPC does. she wanted to understand the 501c stuff, which I think we're going to be talking about more. I know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And she requested that, she noted that we had a lot of tasks and wanted to prioritize some of them. She was wondering about a volunteer program. During the board meeting, when John gave his presentation, he presented that or asked the board, do we need a formal volunteer program? And she was asking the questions, what does that look like? What are the implied liabilities to the district? If we have one, do we need insurance? And then
the last issue, or not issue, but this point she made was the discussion about our emergency preparedness coordinator's position. Looking, she would like us to discuss, she wanted us to discuss whether like independent consultant versus staff position, but you know, that is actually more of a board position. It could be, I mean, we could potentially lend our opinion to that in some ways, but I mean, that's obviously a board focused thing, but we can talk about it. And then she wanted us to kind of get an understanding of what other emergency preparedness coordinators around us do. And I'm presuming that also means kind of like their job descriptions and class, and kind of get an idea of how all the work Johnny has done compares to, you know, around us and maybe even different. She didn't say this, but I was thinking like maybe like they have emergency preparedness coordinators for like hospitals. And I know at the DOC, we have a whole like health safety stuff. So just kind of get an idea of where Johnny's position and tasks come and fit with them. She is wants the EPC's recommendation for board approval for an updated scope of work, because Johnny gives his scope of work for the year, and then so now she wants our opinion on that scope of work, and then she wants us to present that to the board. Is that it? Excellent. And can you think of anything else?
Okay. When Julie's talking about volunteers, what kind of volunteers is, I don't know, what is she talking about volunteers?
So, so during our, we, our campaigns, like we did the, Johnny, what was it?
Door hangers.
Well, there's door hangers. We conscripted volunteers, you know, for different campaigns. The door hangers, and then what was the other one? It was, I guess it was two door hangers, wasn't it?
We also, during the Kensington evacuation drill, we had asked people if they wanted to help count cars at certain intersections. And then the police department also had staff that was, that also did that as well, because we didn't want to we didn't want to create a scenario where we were staffing up for the evacuation drill, but we had staff from the police department present to observe it, and with volunteers as well. Post at certain pinch points based on the traffic study to count cars and volume for observation. But there were other things too. I think there were other things that we did as well.
There's also the Shred and Med event that's run by Johnny with all volunteers versus overtime by firefighters. Oh yes, like it has been in the past.
Yeah, because the staff are, they're always on duty, so if they get called away on a, you know, to an incident, which has happened several times, we're kind of left having to deal with traffic control and unloading boxes. So it was a good move for us to start staffing up with volunteers for that, which has primarily come from this committee, not from general community outreach. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the reason that I asked about that and put that followed up by the online ability, when it with search, search is overseen by Homeland Security, on Homeland Security, and usually I don't know if it's with search, if you were injured or doing some sort of search, you would come. And then years ago, we had a group of people that cleared out the block and took out all the juniper and leaves. We had people come out and just the bathroom. But what we did is we had everybody sign off on that. Yeah. So just, do you remember that? We signed off on
the waivers. Like a, right, a waiver.
I think that's the solution right there.
Right. So perhaps something like that would suffice.
What strikes me is that if this is a concern to one board members, that the board should be querying legal counsel with regard to liability and insurance with regard to volunteers. I don't know that we have any expertise in this area, nor would I suggest anything. So I really would turn this back to the board for seeking legal counsel's opinion on this.
And to that point also, Johnny is not a member of the board. Johnny is an employee. So if he's having people, if he's getting volunteers to go out and do these things, which is wonderful, and the board is nervous about something that there's going to be liability, and the board should handle that, don't you think?
Or Johnny's in a better contractor.
Okay.
No, but I think the point is well taken because, for example, the door hangers, volunteers were enlisted to do it. And if there was a liability issue, then that should have been certainly discussed and at the board level. And council should have been queried to determine if that was an issue at all.
Can I also do this hand raise?
Just to clarify, last summer before we launched the door hanger campaign, I did ask if we needed to formalize some sort of a waiver or to have some sort of a formalized program to engage volunteers. And it was brought up in the monthly board meeting, but there was no further discussion coming from it. So I don't know if there was conversations with the general manager at the time, but I did have a safety briefing for everyone, and it did acknowledge the it's basically an ICS form that's usually done before any kind of an incident, like meetings or public events that public safety agencies use to fill out. So I did record that and go over any kind of safety information with anybody that was involved.
And you signed a list too for the long hands, right?
I personally have signed waivers for myself to volunteer activities, and I think that's the way to at least check on the legality of that, covering things like we're talking about, hell of a lot cheaper and faster, just about anything. I just know I've signed a bunch of free volunteer things and so forth, and so that seems to be a logical direction to go first and see if that's feasible, and then you come up with one.
That's a good idea. That's right. We can run that by legal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, really nice thing to do for us.
So with regard to some of these comments, such as Jim's and Julie's others, with the intent to develop other actions within the work plan or supplement what we're already doing.
Yeah, it sounds like Danielle suggested that Jim's comment can be incorporated as a seventh work plan item.
Well, I would like to, with regard to Jim's suggestion, what exactly is envisioned what the EPC would do with regard to approaching the fire district, the park district, with regard to vegetation mitigation and so forth. I'm not quite sure that that's our role as opposed to, again, the board's role or the general manager's role.
I agree with David. I think the same thing. And it seems to me that somebody from this committee just might not have enough clout. I would rather see the fire chief do that. I mean, this has been a big issue for years, hasn't it? So it's not like we're going to be approaching him for the first time and be able to get what we want all of a sudden. So I would bring in the cruisers on this kind of thing, not us.
I would also add that, you know, if this committee were to do something logical, like invite them to our meeting to explain information about how they're doing stuff, certainly the board would want to hear that directly as well. Mm-hmm. So again, I think on some of the outreach to the district, the strongest face forward between the chief and the board, I think is a good way to go too.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I would really encourage something like that, because I think the only way you're going to accomplish a lot of what we would like to see, that is vegetation reduction and so forth, is through a partnership with the park district. And the perfect example is that is Rendo Moraga Fire District, where they acquired $10 million in grants from CAL FIRE and partnered with East Bay Regional Park and others in developing a fire break a huge fire break through that area. And I'll be honest, it has been mentioned to previous boards, fire boards, about looking for grants, trying to get grants and partnering with the park district. And to be honest, that hasn't gained any traction.
And you know, that's what we need to go through. And the grant money has to be obtained, of course. But then there are other things that have to be considered in this too. They can't just go in and start doing things. It has to be that long range plan. And then environmental reports have to be done, because you just can't go in and suck up what wildlife is being disturbed, or, you know, the butterfly, or hummingbird, what, all of that. And then you're going to have people opposing it. There are the friends of the eucalyptus. So that's a big outfit. And they go, what's invasive, what's native. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be done. And all the T's have to be crossed and the I's dotted. And that takes time. Some of those environmental reports can take up to 7 years. You know, I mean, not all of them, but I mean,
and money.
So when people say, you've got to get in there, you've got to go cut now, and all this, well, that's nice in theory, right? You know. So, but if we invite Cal Fire and invite the new groups here, they can tell us what they've done thus far, what their plans do, what they would like to do. And you know what's going on, so that we have the facts, and we just—I think that would be an important step forward.
I guess what I would say, from my perspective, being on the board, is it would be useful if we set up a meeting, if the meeting could be set up with East Bay Regional, some representative from East Bay Regional Park, and the board of directors, and maybe the fire chief. I guess if it's at a board meeting, usually the fire chief is there. One thing that could be useful from this committee is sort of a list of topics or specific items that should specifically be covered. Obviously, people have been working in this space for years, decades. As Dave mentioned, there's history of other activities that other fire districts have engaged in with East Bay Regional Park. You know, rather than have sort of a discussion that's, you know, East Bay Regional Park just telling us, you know, what they've done before and what they're planning next. If we could, you know, we want to make sure the board can, as intelligently as possible, also talk about what things we can maybe try to work together on. So again, from my perspective, maybe this board doesn't need to talk to East Bay Regional Park directly, but it would be really useful if there was a great resource for the board and the public. That we as a board, as the board of directors, could then have a conversation with East Bay Regional Park and have it be more productive and less exploratory than it might be if they just showed up and tipped.
There needs to be just a coordinated single approach to East Bay Park District. I think that's my past dealings with them. And so the board is asking me to make inroads for the communication with them. That's the place to start. And I think we can develop who meets with whom, our elected members and their elected members, perhaps, site visit where this is the conference room kind of thing, and really maybe begin to get the conversation going. And I think a partnership is the correct term. There's both sides are going to have to give, I think, for some results to take place. But I think the board's very clear they would like us to get in on that communication, get some results from it. So
is there something that this committee should do research-wise first, or do you want to?
I think if perhaps this group has ideas about the type of vegetation management, where that would be successful, moving those ideas to the staff as talking points for East Bay Park District, that would be good.
Yeah, and that's actually a good—
there's some logical questions, of course, along there, but your group's dealt with this a long time.
Yeah. And not to add too many things to Tim's plate, but this is also a good general statement, which is that part of the point of this committee is not strictly that all of the discussion happens just at this committee and then in between nothing happens. Tim is a great nexus for things to be set in motion, or people can reach out to between meetings and can integrate what we're saying and also what the board is saying, even though the board and this committee don't directly meet all the time. So if you have great ideas, send them to Tim.
But I think your point's well taken that we should, maybe within the committee, discuss what issues we'd like to bring to a discussion with the Park District. For example, can we partner in grant applications? What type of grants would we see? Secondly, it would be interesting to know what the limitations the Park District sees with regard to environmental issues and so forth. And certainly people would like to see them clear cut the whole east side of the school trail.
Sure.
But I'm sure there are environmental limitations there. And that would be useful, I think, to understand what their limitations are. As we all know, they were interested in reducing the eucalyptus risk, yet they were sued and had to reach a consent decree on what they could or could not cut down. So I think it's important to understand those limitations that they have as well.
And if I guess what I'm saying also about using sort of the nexus is if these ideas come in, these research things happen, they don't just have to be discussed on this committee. Ultimately, that information in a, you know, concisely written staff report, I think would be really useful for the board. So I guess theoretically, the report, Danielle and my report to the board at the end of the meeting could be that report, but I think it's maybe useful to have it be, since it would be, I think, essentially reporting what this committee is doing. It's reporting on sort of outside of Kensington issues, if that made any sense. Perhaps it didn't make any sense. I usually think of the report that we give at the end of our board meeting as what is the committee up to, and not so much as what are the committee's findings. I feel like the committee's findings should come through as a regular business item and not just the report of the committee, but maybe that's just my opinion. All right. Is that some? Sorry, I also just volunteered Tim for a bunch of stuff. Is that something in your scope of reference?
It'll get in the queue.
Actually, I have an example, kind of out of the box thought about this, and is so there's an area in Marin Peninsula that is a community called Homestead Valley, and they have residences, and then they have like 8 acres of open wildland that they have, and they have a land trust to manage it. And so, and it's one of the residents who actually does it. And so I'm just wondering, and what they do is they service their trails, they prioritize high-risk fire areas, they hire supervised tree professionals to reduce wildfire risk. And a part of that, they also make sure you get the biologists out there to make sure there aren't any owls in the trees. I mean, it's all part of that land trust and vegetation management. And so I'm wondering if, does Kensington need a separate district like that, or a land trust? I don't know what the difference is between a land trust and a district, but it sounds very district-y to me, like a vegetation management district.
I'm not sure there's a specific special district for vegetation management, and that's something that we would have to talk about in East Bay Regional Park, because it's very much their land.
Yeah, but we still have stuff within Kensington to do too. Like, even though we are a bunch of houses, there are still, along roads, there are trees that encroach on, county space, and that actually should be managed, like, for safety issues. So, and then the Parks District has, so I guess it is more of a parks thing than a, I don't know. I was coming at it from a vegetation management avenue and less a parks management, but I don't know. How did it work in the
Liverpool? Well, I think it depends upon who owns the land, suggested. And perhaps in Greene County, perhaps some open space was purchased by a trust, and therefore they managed that land. And trusts have to be funded somehow. Usually it's a donation by somebody, or a grant comes in, and then you hire people to manage all the aspects of the land. So it really depends upon the situation.
I don't know what else.
Yeah, I really like the suggestion of coming up with questions that are relevant, and we could maybe prioritize some of those. I think that's certainly worth, a project to develop, like, what are the critical things? I mean, just with Dave talking,
you know, I mean, the question I have, what are the range of possibilities that the East Bay Regional District can even considers, you know, when they're dealing with stuff like this? So, you know, I think part of it might be educational questions, part of it might be process grant questions. So I think it's worthwhile to put that on our list and try to develop some of the more critical pieces of, if they came to us, if we could get them to come to us, what are the things we would really want them to be addressed?
And then we could take it off of Tim's cue.
Yeah. Well, we could start there and then we could put it in.
Right, right. I do want to stress at least we need one contact with the space.
Yes.
At least it's sort of independent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Contact. So, with that understood, your input would be very valuable on what are the types of talking points that we have in such meetings and start a dialogue that we explore. What we could do for each other, East Bay Park District. And, I mean, they're the big dog in the room.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they act at me, but I think it's good to come in as a partnership mentality.
Very quickly, let me respond to Danielle's comments. We at the police district developed several mitigation plans to submit to FEMA for approval. One of which deals with our park and vegetation management within the park, and also partnering with East Bay Regional Park to the extent that wildland interface, you know, connects. And the other part about trees that overhang the county streets, another aspect of our proposed mitigation plan would be to work with homeowners, PG&E, and the county to trim the trees, because if you have a tree go down, you're going to have an infrastructure problem because the power line will go up. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we've been thinking about on the police side, and it really comes to your points. So actually take a look at our mitigation plan, and if there's anything else you think about, let us know.
Okay. So just to summarize concretely this discussion, various members informally of this committee will assemble some talking points / questions that we would like the board of directors to have top of mind when having some future meeting, hopefully soonish, with East Bay Regional Parks representative. Would someone like to be the point person where people will send those thoughts?
I can do it, because my plan would be to just create a Google file and give you guys.
That's a great.
Send the cue.
Yeah,
be part of it.
Great. Okay. So as an item, we will show do that. Talking points for the board for discussion of East Bay Regional Park. What can we do? What can't we do? Let's move forward as a partnership. Eventually, it will be condensed and we will have an actual point of contact from the district, one, to reach out to East Bay Regional Park. So we kind of get that ball rolling. To the other points on the list, so I guess we'll hear an update if we have one for the CERT, what's going on with our sort of CERT mediation efforts. There's the evacuation drill we talked about, LRADs.
Let me just ask about the LRAD, and sorry to interrupt, yes. But we made a presentation to the board, was it about a year ago?
Yeah, not quite that long, but
yeah, so
well back.
And so I think what NPC was sort of looking for was either direction or directing the general manager to move with the next steps, because our presentation and Daniel was an integral part of that, was to outline what the options were. And I think it was pretty clear that the next steps were to understand what the cost would be and how many, you know, these LRADs you need and so forth. And we had identified a process for doing that by using a contract that Berkeley and another jurisdiction had. So I think at least the next step on the LRADs is what the board wants to do with regard to that next step. Is the board inclined to move on understanding what the costs would be for LVAS, or just hold it in abeyance, something like that, because I don't know what more the committee needs to do in that regard.
Yeah, should we create a reserve account or something? I mean, can we?
I agree. There were there was a statement that we needed to do our local hazard mitigation plan, because to get that in order, and then to find out what the cost would be, because until you know the cost of what the system is, you can't even start thinking about looking for grants or finding out if you can quote piggyback on another contract. So I think the local hazard mitigation plan is done. I don't think it's been officially incorporated.
I think it's
county.
Sent to the county, but I don't think it's done from the county.
But assuming it's on the way.
Well, I can very, very briefly, we put the same thing in that you did with regard to LRADS as a partnership. And so the county has looked at that, and the county's consultant have. We at the police district had conversations with them. So now going back to the county, and then it'll go to Cal OES. So I think probably both jurisdictions have an approved draft, but now we'll be moving on to Cal OES as part of the larger county proposal.
Okay, while
that
is taking place, can we go ahead and find out the
cost and
get the final
cost? That's up to the board.
Yeah. Both clearly in the board's court.
Yes.
So that's an RP list, or?
Well, we'll just, staff will determine, unfortunately.
I think it needs to be a staff role to find out pricing.
The chief had brought up concerns about the cellular network for the LRADs when he came and visited us. I don't know if this is something that this committee wants to look into now, or slash what can be done to mitigate those concerns, or if...
Well, let me just say to that effect on that issue, I think the chief was concerned about loss of power that would affect the cellular network, but some of these devices have their own battery powered solar type of thing. So I think that would need to be looked into as one of the elements. But it is an issue, but I think it can be addressed, at least from what we understood was the potential of these devices.
I think he was also concerned, since we have a relatively fragile cellular network in Kensington as it is, that in the event of an emergency, it could easily be overwhelmed, overtaxed, or just, and then what would come next for that? But that was also a question out on the list.
If you are a first responder, you can ask AT&T, for instance, for priority so that your cell never gets prioritized to the network system when everyone else is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine us not being able to do that for, like, if there's a cell number associated with the LRAD the system, not the actual siren, but, you know, wherever it's coming in, that we, actually, we need to go back and look at the LRADs and how they actually do their system, the way they send out their signal to the LRADs, and then so maybe I'll look at the LRADs real quick to see if I can find out and how they relay signals, and if you actually need a landline versus if it uses a cell signal. And then secondly, if it needs a cell signal, I know that the major carriers will give preference to first responders, and you have to apply for it especially because somebody in my office did that. And so it can happen, and certain cell numbers can have priority in the event of loss of cell. That is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Item four on this list was developed a volunteer program. It sounds like
Can I just ask, just as a quick aside, on the cell communication piece, particularly from the last meeting, I thought that someone here had indicated that AT&T had installed a number of sort of boosting devices but then that there's been some complaints that had caused AT&T to turn off some of those. Am I remembering that correctly? And so who said that? Because I wanted to learn more about that from whoever that was.
It was Peter who talked about the modulating of the signal strength from the cell towers. About 3 years ago, maybe, AT&T came to, I guess it was KMAC, to see about putting in additional cell towers. They asked for 6 within Kensington. This was really a final county decision in the long run. There were a couple public meetings on it, some public resistance. However, the county agreed to allow them to put in 5 new cell towers, one of which is at the end of Grizzly Peak.
Yeah.
And there are 4 others in the area, but Peter can elaborate more on what AT&T has done with regard to modulating the strength of the signal out of the cell tower.
Okay.
Peter, it sounds like he was good to hear himself.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what happened, at least what I found out, as David said, we had 5 or 6 cell towers, and it doesn't look like a regular cell tower. All it did was they put up an antenna on top of a regular power line pole, and there was about 6 in Kensington. And then there's a lot of hardware that sits farther down, maybe like 8 feet off the ground, and that's what does the receiving and transmitting. But the thing was that there was no problem. There wasn't any interference with people's radio reception and stuff like that. But as far as I know, they had to turn them. AT&T had to turn them all the strength of each of those cell towers back down to the lowest strength, which is pretty low, like maybe 50 feet away, you lose the signal. And the reason was, people said, oh no, we can't have all this RF going through our heads. And they just got spooked about it, and AT&T backed off. But you can see there's still, there's one at the corner of Franciscan Way and Sunset, just going into the cemetery. If you walk down there, you'll see a pole that has lots of extra stuff rather than the normal poles. And there, as I say, there's about 5 or 6 of them around Kensington. And that's what I know about that.
Right. Thank you. That's helpful.
Donnie, you've been patiently waiting.
Yeah, just the program that Danielle was talking about was FirstNet. One word, FirstNet, and it's easy to find online, just if anybody wanted to look it up.
Moving to send lists. Volunteer program, sounds like we're going to talk with legal about whether or not waivers are sufficient for the legal aspects. And assuming that goes okay, then maybe we can talk about that at a future meeting. Business continuity, disaster recovery.
That was me, and I can't deal with that right now.
Okay. maybe we'll deprioritize that one.
Maybe next year. Or
yeah. Okay, that's fine. Evacuation communication guidelines. We're pretty close on this, right? So that should be easy to wrap up, hopefully, maybe this year.
Well, we're Johnny and I and Lisa and David who have worked on this together, we're talking about distribution right at that point. Johnny, why don't you elaborate on that? You had a slide in your deck for the board meeting that showed that discussed with you in the background the 2 options for distribution. Do you think that's appropriate for now?
Yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah. It was whether or not we were going to have our vendor mail stream, which is based in Concord, just mail it to everyone through USPS, or if we were going to work with our teams here locally, whether that's just the EPC or an extended team of volunteers in the community to deliver these packages. We'd have to you know, confirm the addresses on the spreadsheet with the Genesis maps, so that way we can divide everything up by zone and making sure that the right zone information is going to the appropriate houses, and assemble the packages with the magnet, brochure, and other enclosures, and then just planning for that distribution. So whether it's handouts or going through the mail, it's going to have a different organization. If it's going to Mailstream, we're going to say, all right, this lot goes to this set of addresses, then this one goes. So it's just an extra step, I think, just downloading this information to Mailstream. But I mean, we'd kind of have to figure out how we're going to go about this depending on the board's direction on if we engage volunteers or not.
I have an opinion about this. It's appropriate. And that is, I would much rather go with Mailstream because of the experiences of not more than what, a half a year ago in the fall, when we put together a volunteer group to distribute the door hangers. That was problematic. It didn't seem like it was going to be. It was. I mean, it was a little bit like herding cats. And I'm not doing that again. It's easy. People say they're going to do something, and then they don't, and it comes up at the last minute, and we have to scramble. And Johnny did more than he should have had running around Kensington with these things in his hand. I would much rather turn it over to a professional organization like Mailstream. Possibly, Johnny, I think you definitely elaborated on this a bit, that we could maybe you can answer this right now, save some money. I don't know if it's significant or not. If a volunteer group packaged these things, put them together, and then turned them over to Mailstream for distribution. The other advantage in getting a professional group, Johnny, again, I'm open to criticism about this, but I would think, for example, if it were the mail service, I would have much more faith in them being able to find the front door or the mailbox, because that was a little bit of a problem, more than I would have thought. I knew that Kensington had curvy streets and remote entrances to different homes, but it was worse than I thought. And yet we knew better than to go snooping around looking for a door. In fact, in this case, it was just the door hanger, so we'd agreed to just leave them on the gates out in front or something. I wouldn't want to leave a package out in front. It's not quite the same, even though it's not super valuable. So I'm all for, if it's affordable, which I think you implied before, Johnny, for something else, I don't remember which project it was. Mailstream is not terribly expensive. It's easy for me to say, it's not coming out of my pocket, but
ultimately it is.
Yeah, it's true. So I would much rather go with professionals that we can count on.
I mean, I think, Johnny, are you going to talk about this during your part of the agenda? Because I had some comments about that from what was presented at the meeting, just some questions.
I think so we can move on to that agenda. I think we're basically done with the work.
I just want to summarize. Have we just, from this discussion, only added, in terms of, you know, major content, the East Bay Regional Park District discussion?
Number 7.
Yes. Hierarchy? Oh, okay. So it's been added. Okay. But other than that, all the other comments about fire hardening.
So are they going to be separate ones, or do you want them as the same as a fire test?
I think so.
And is that being added as a task, or does that be discussed?
Yeah.
Do we want to clarify, the scope of the task is create fire hardening educational materials? Is that the question?
Let me just say that you have more than enough fire hardening.
I think they exist.
I think it's more the issue of how do we get residents to understand the importance of it and educate them to do what is necessary to harden their home.
I have a checklist that I just got approved by the fire prevention office to have distributed through the community for home hardening that focuses specifically on the structure. So there's no shortage of information. It's just about means of distributing it, like you said.
Well, does it seem like there's a discussion to be had about sort of sorting through those resources and what it's going to take to get them to the community at a level that they get used, or something along those lines?
I guess there's always, it's always sort of the interesting question, right? How does the information that is currently in this committee get out to the community? So.
And if it's not being used, what are the barriers to it being used?
Yes. So six is already, is developed on this list, was develop evacuation communication guidelines for residences. Perhaps we should modify the scope of that very slightly to develop the guidelines for residents and have events, do something, do, you know, what activities can be used to get that information into the hands of the public?
Are you saying cut and paste that, but instead of it being evacuation, have it be fire hardening?
Well, I guess I think of six as being like, this is what you need to know, this is what the residents need to know about evacuations. But we don't really need a separate, this is what they need to know about fire. This is what they need to know about. There could be sort of one item, which is, I guess, resident education.
But there's more to the fire hardening part that I wanted. It's the program development, kind of like the vegetation grant stuff. It's like, okay, what if the district can buy a big thing of a screen, and then we figure out a way to make that available to residents for either at cost or something, or and then figure out a way to get, help them get it installed, or, you know, there's more to do to individual houses that people can do, and it needs to be focused. There needs to be a spotlight on house permitting.
I agree, and I think it's a distinct task from the evacuation.
Yeah, okay, completely. I think I think be horrible to put those together.
And there are multiple.
You're gonna lose focus on both.
Right. Okay. There are multiple facets of it. Danielle has pointed a couple things out. Mm-hmm. Because there's the broad education aspect of it, but there are some unique things like screening. I'll give you that kind. Other jurisdictions have provided screens for residents if they want to screen their either crawl space area or their attic areas. So there's a lot of things that need to be discussed about that.
Can we get that on top of all the other things we're talking about this year? Can we get that done this year, or is this
We can share something about it.
Well, there's some things you might be able to get. I'll get the screening is a good example that you might be able to act on if the board wants to pay for them and people can pick them up if they want and so forth. That might be done quickly. There are other things that may take a longer time. I'm still not convinced that residents are really into this, given all the amount of information that's been provided. And Johnny has done an excellent job in both developing the information, but also meeting with residents in different locations. Paul and I have attended some of those, and Lisa has too.
And actually, we just attended them as well.
Right. But whether it resonates in residents actually doing something is a whole different.
It's still a big challenge. That's what I was trying to say earlier.
The point on cost is a very good one.
Oh yeah, and actually, so when we were at the Firewise, Ida and Johnny, I'm just gonna tell them about it, Johnny. So anyway, okay. One of the Kate Watts, she said that she had got a quote for doing the fire screening for her under her house, the lower part, and it was like $7,000 for 7 events or something. $7,000 for 7 event. I was like almost, it was something around. Do you remember the exact number, Johnny?
I don't think I was listening to her conversation. I think it was in another conversation.
Kate Lawrence. Oh.
She lives
on Purdue.
Just off the trail.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So there are barriers. There are all kinds of barriers to this stuff. And there's all kinds of ways for residents to be, you know, taken advantage of. I mean, that's ridiculous.
So that made me think of, I wonder if anybody would want to take on the task of seeing if we find somebody who has their own like little company or whatever that you know with a step ladder, and we go up and tap the screens on it. Because remember back, I don't think we're living here in Kensington at the time, when the gas shut off valves became the thing. And people were getting quotes all over the place. And then we found people like Larry, flying the shuttle ground guys. And then there were certain people that can come out if you got your neighborhood together. And then you get back to you. That was, I mean, $75 or something like that. You know, and it was like, whoa, all of a sudden people are, you know, well, I'm in. You said, okay, so they come back one day and boom. And so if we could do something like that. Yeah, because there's got to be some outfits around it. This doesn't have to be any sort of high tech outfit, you know. You know, the screen that they would be standing out, even if they would, what they want us, you know, and you know, crafting whatever that is, and it can go something go up on top of over what you existing to, and pack it up there with your ladders, and if enough people in the neighborhood sign up, it's a nice little.
Right,
so job for somebody, you know?
Yes, I just want to say, I mean, it sounds like health gardening as a concept, you know, is really important to add here, even if it's not a top priority for this particular tourism. But I mean, I personally think the most effective way to get people to do anything is have a one subject issue, the go bag, the, you know, your earthquake kit, you know, things that they can kind of, we can kind of hit really heavy. John's great at doing this, and focus on just that one thing. So whoever's, I'm not as house gardening as some people, but whatever that thing is, let's have a discussion and then pick screens and then make that a target issue. Mm-hmm. That is the project, you know, instead of just all of
that's great. Because that was my concern was I want there to be an action item to come out of this from the committee. So
yeah.
Yeah. If you get them, I remember years ago, and people talked to them this too, when we started doing our presentations with the KPSC, people, you know, trying to get people to work, and we discovered that we can get people, we can start getting water, just going, when you go to the supermarket, pick up another case of water, little things like that. And then finally they did that. You know, we kept asking them, how are you doing on the water? Well, I'm working on it. What are you working on? Don't you have to go to the supermarket? You know. Yes, but you just get them to do little things like that. You say one thing, don't overtax them. One thing, and then it was the best. Shut up, guys. One thing. The screening could be one thing.
So, are you excited? It sounded like you were excited by this. Do you want to spearhead looking into something like that?
Sure. I mean, it was your idea. I'm going to work with you regardless. But
you can spearhead it and I'll spearhead something else. You can do it.
Sure. I want to spread the tasks around.
Then I would be happy.
Thank you.
I would be excited.
Excellent. Yeah. Even more excited.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have, just to put a pin in this one, we're deprioritizing disaster recovery business continuity for now, but we are going to document outlining how the district can interact with East Bay Regional Parks, and plus to what we can do, maybe a specific item for house hardening.
And that's going to be distinct.
Those are both distinct items.
Yeah, let me just say, I don't think it's probably doing, we can chew gum and walk at the same time. So just focusing on one thing. I mean, screens are easy, but I think we have to be a little. We have to be a little more aggressive in this area. I mean, let's tackle the easy things, like screens maybe, but let's also try to come up with an approach to get residents to think more broadly about what they need to do with regard to house hiring. Because if you take one task at a time, it's going to leave all these broader issues, like house hiring in general, put it in the back burner, and when a wildfire comes through here, people are not going to be ready. And it's just, you know, anyways, that's my two cents.
Just an FYI, I reached out to Dennis Rain at La Mirinda to ask about how they did their event screen campaign, because they purchased a bunch of them to give out to their community members. So at least we'll find out a little bit more information on that, and then we can present that later to the board or sooner than later. At least we can get some traction in that direction. But what really works as far as being aggressive in this community with campaigns is when residents can see that others are doing it. For example, with Wildcat Firewise, everything Wildcat Firewise does, we promote. They can see something happening there. And that's starting to get others inspired. So if we do anything, it's like we kind of have to produce what they need to see to take action on. So we'll have to have photos or the fire marshal or Captain Travis Brumpacker come out and do these demonstrations or show people how to do the screens, so that way we can produce the content to push it out there. And then that is a lot of word of mouth as well. People see it and read about it, and then they start sharing that within their groups. And on top of forming these neighborhood groups where we're pushing information out through, kind of our local ambassadors, that's where we're seeing the repeat success. So we continue to make strides that way. Instead of just writing an article or doing an event, and then it needs to be engineered a very specific way than just putting information out. It's that extra layer of marketing, for lack of better words. So it's possible.
I have one last question. So for the Google Doc that I create that everyone can contribute to, mm-hmm. That's not Brian acknowledging.
That, yes, that's why it doesn't go to everyone. It goes to the people in the subgroup.
Okay, and so that's you. Yes.
Okay, so we'll return to the work plan throughout the year to see how we're doing on our goals. But for now, I think we can send out our slightly revised one with the feedback from the board incorporated back to the board so that we can have a discussion at the board in April about the work.
To address Julie Stein's question, are we going to try to prioritize these? Maybe not. I didn't want to. Because she's likely to bring
point.
It up again.
Yes, that's a good point. Without having a 90-minute discussion.
Yeah.
CERT seems important, / we have sort of maybe motions and the sort of concrete steps we're trying to take. It sounded like the evacuation drill. It sounded like from the chief that he sort of gave us an answer on the evacuation drill, which is like there won't be an evacuation drill this year.
Not unless it's a tabletop exercise.
Right, right. That's the closest.
Yeah, so I'd say that's probably low on the list.
Even though it's almost done, I personally would vote anyway for having the evacuation package delivered ASAP.
Yeah,
yes, I mean, I'm into the evacuation thing. That saves lives now. All this other stuff is important, but it ain't going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Getting that plan out to residents can happen tomorrow.
Okay. I think can we, by general consensus, is that maybe our number one priority?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Number two priority, maybe CERT? Maybe something else? Maybe house hardening?
Well, certainly, I mean, house hardening and the screening thing I think would be a very high priority task as we're coming into the next fire season.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, having a discussion with the fire park district would be very useful.
Yeah,
coming into the
that's a good idea.
As well.
To the CERT thing. I think people are not familiar with CERT, if they're not members of CERT, they're not familiar with it. They have no idea the importance of CERT. It's enormous, and the thing that CERT members can do, they can, down in Santa Barbara now, they're interacting with the EOC, okay? They're being used in a myriad of ways that are very, very important. I mean, if we didn't have CERT, somebody would have to invent it. It's that important, but it's a heavy lift to bring it back because a lot of the people that have been involved in CERT both came to think and also be able to that's what we're doing, trying to do both. Okay, they did not, their contact information is not enrolled such that it became public, or it could be released to the public. So it was like, what are you gonna do? You can't send up smoke signals. We're in a high fire zone here. So I'm trying to track down these people. I've contacted different people that have been involved in CERT and asking them to reach out into their little backyards as a home and to spread the word. That's kind of where it's at. And still waiting to hear back from the chief for the reason that he's at. He said he was going to contact the chief, David, at the end of assessment now.
Presentation.
I'm going to try and have some sort of meeting. You know, I was going to get the room and all that. And invite people over and listen to how he grew his search. And so we learned that. But I haven't heard back from the chief, though.
Well, but also to that, I mean, that's one path. What if we also start working? Somebody can start working on the 501c3.
All right.
The 501c3, somebody's going to be in charge of starting that, not necessarily from the EPC, but isn't that part of the first part of the process of establishing the CERT? I mean, that's one way to kind of push it forward.
Oh, I guess from my perspective, I wanted the core people who are going to organize it first.
Okay.
I don't want them to do it first.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a hold of Chris Hurley. Okay. He was very involved, and if he's still in, if he's not burned out, time we came over and get him cooking on that. And, you know, but it's a big lift, a heavy lift. So it's not gonna happen overnight. I'm just assuming, I'm reaching out, but I need to go from the chief. I need these people to show that in fact that they truly are interested. It was going great before, and they allowed it to die.
Yep. Quick pause. It is now 5:28. Our agendized end of meeting is 5:30. To my knowledge, this committee has never finished in an hour and a half. Do we want to move to extend the meeting some amount of time?
Yeah, I'd move to extend it 10 minutes.
Yeah, there is another meeting.
So yes. Yeah. So there's a hard stop.
Well, can you, 10 minutes be enough to?
Yeah, I think so.
You want to go 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to, excuse me. No, I just get a ride. So I'll make a call and I'll stay.
Okay.
Okay.
Just to briefly summarize, it sounds like a vague priority list is evacuation guidelines, East Bay Regional Parks, CERT, house hardening, LRADS, volunteer program, evacuation drill, disaster recovery, business continuity.
Okay.
Sounds great. All right, Dolly, can you give your presentation?
What's that? What was the question?
Johnny's presentation. Oh. And you have 10 minutes.
Well, we also need to figure out how we want to distribute those. Yeah, unless Johnny's going to come back to that, I'd really like to see this.
Okay, I'll go through this. Okay. All right, one sec. Okay, so we have the paper shredding event coming up on Saturday, April 27th. I'm going to put, I just put a request to have some of the signage ordered so that way I can put them up in high traffic areas and then move them the day of the events to, to indicate where we're having it. So if anybody is available from 10 to noon, you're welcome to join on Saturday, April 27th for this event. Like Danielle mentioned, we had a little mixer with Maybeck FireWise and some of the other areas of Kensington that are looking to pursue FireWise designation neighborhoods. Here, I'll show you this one instead. So Alan was not able to make it to that event, but it was well attended. We had people from, the Grizzly area, Parkside, Highland, and Cerrito Canyon. And I think it was a really good opportunity for everyone to kind of get on the same page of what FireWise means and what the benefits are. And it was just really nice to have everybody in a circle so that way we can kind of meet each other face to face and build those relationships. So I think it's going to be really positive going forward so that way we can continue wrapping the entire community with FireWise communities and work with Berkeley and like we've established the need to work with East Bay Parks. So that way we can be very focused on the work being done. It was mentioned about what's going on with CERT. The last CERT session just wrapped up and we had some graduates that they'll actually have to take some makeup classes in the fall. But I'm meeting with one of the students that is leading the Yale Avenue block parties. And Battalion Chief Jose Castrojón is going to be meeting with us as well to kind of get a sense of, you know, what happened with the course. And then he's going to host like another block party with his group on Yale to kind of tell them what he learned. So we'll be able to push more CERT enrollment. And one of the former students understands that what we're looking for is to eventually have these courses taught locally so that way we don't have to send people over the hill. So that's just an update right there for CERT. The replanting grant, still making headway on these neighborhoods. Some of the challenges that we're seeing are some residents aren't able to do the work themselves of removing juniper. Some may need assistance with funding or cost sharing. Some do not have the tools to do it effectively. And one of the things that keeps coming up is wood chips, tan bark, and mulch. This is also a concern, and should they be removing it? So is this something that we can consider as part of the replanting grant program, is removing this and possibly putting in something like decomposed granite? So just another thing to be aware of what we're seeing in the community. So I've been pointing people to apply for funding with cost sharing from Diablo Fire Safe Council. So there's an opportunity for funding. And then I learned about the tool lending library from the Berkeley Public Library. So I'm going to meet with them to see how they run their program and possibly if this is something that can be introduced through our county library system or maybe just locally, but giving people access to something that they could borrow or use for a little bit that they don't need to invest in may be another way to get people engaged in removing vegetation. So I'm going to explore a little bit with that and see what we find. Like I said, we have one of these sites is already complete. So we're trying to push this through to the funding or reimbursement phase. And we still have these other active sites that are removing the vegetation. I mentioned at the monthly board meeting, the CAL FIRE subdivision review report was published for the end of Purdue, Dewey, and Garden. So I'll get this up so you can see what it looks like, and then I'll publish this to the neighborhood. But they had some recommendations to take for us to consider. The fire plug is going to be mailed out in mid-April, so I'm working on this still, kind of fine-tuning it. And I think that we should push out home hardening information, which is here, is a checklist. It's very, you know, it's just an overview, but of course there's a lot of things that can be considered, but this is a good way for us to push out something like this in the fire plug where everyone will get it at the same time, along with the updates of other initiatives that we have going out. So that's an option. And we can also have this as a standalone document that we can hand out at public events as well. CPR first aid, the schedule has been published. If you want to find out about, you know, what courses are coming up, you can go to the fire department website and go under community programs. And then let's just skip forward to this one. I want to see if we can plan a wildfire preparedness day on Saturday, June 8th at the community center. I have that day reserved. And what we can do is bring in the public safety agencies and partnering organizations like the local Red Cross or the county health department, basically the same people that we had a couple years ago for the community wildfire preparedness day. And I want to focus on getting CWS there to confirm people's registration and ensure that people have their contact cards and or the caller ID stored on their mobile device. And we can put posters up, or I have the vertical banners that retract so that way people can just go to each station and make sure that they're hitting all the preparedness steps for wildfire season. And we can push out information for zone information and continue talking about the evacuation is your responsibility campaign there. And they can also tap into different opportunities to get more involved in the community. And I hope to have that event so that way we can give out these survival kits that we ordered. I don't want to give these out during the Tri-City Safety Day because that is just a blend of other communities. I want to make sure that our residents are getting the resources in a more local setting. So that's something I'll be pitching to see if we can get approval for that from the board, and then we can quickly move to get that promoted. Are there any questions? Let me know. But I have additional slides that can go over the evacuation as your responsibility if you wanted to talk about those. I think, Lisa, you had comments, right?
Yeah. Well, Paul, did you want to comment first on the distribution of the evacuation stuff?
I think I already
did. I just had a question, Don. I noticed during the board meeting when you presented it that you had the main thrust of evacuation is your responsibility piece, and then there were like a bunch of other things in that as well. Is that what, did I get that right?
Yeah, if we're going to do like a package, like an envelope sending some of the stuff out, like the magnet mailer and a one pager and the brochure, then we could also put things like, and just as an example, hold on, let me get to that slide, like signing up for the red flag notification, or signing up for certain, or letting them know about certain enrollment. And that could be a double-sided postcard insert, or if there's another event that we have coming up, we can also put that in there as well. So there's just additional stuff. If we're going to send something out, we might as well just send a package out. Just like if it's just an envelope, we can include other stuff. I don't know. It's up to the committee to say if it's, that's just too much and it just clutters, then we can just not include it.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that when people get all this stuff, they don't really focus on any one thing, and it just was a little more dispersed. I don't know what other people feel. It seemed like a lot of stuff, and you tend to just...
I agree, and the plan, I think, should be focused. I think in this package, that's the main thing we're talking about here. They don't stop.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it tend to dilute the message.
Mm. Yeah, I was just thinking that when I saw you, all the stuff that was going in here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We can tailor it back then. It's not a problem.
Yeah, we can talk about what could be in there for sure.
So what about distribution? What do you think, John?
I think we should assemble the packages ourselves, and then I can take them to Mailstream, and then I give them each of them saying this is the address for this lot, this is the address list for this, so that way they know.
And what do you think if the rough estimate of the cost we pay for that? If we
I think it would depend on. I think it would depend on the size of the package that we're sending out. I think they meter differently than letters.
So you've worked with them before. Do you think it's likely to be prohibitive, the cost?
No, I mean,
that means, but
I'm actually surprised at how affordable it is to hit every house through them. I've seen a lot more expensive campaigns. So if we're ensuring that the message gets out efficiently through them, it's worth it. I don't think they're expensive. I think they're actually really affordable.
The board will probably want an actual number though, Johnny.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I usually get quotes from them. I'll get a quote.
When was your fire plug stuff due by? For publication?
I'm trying to get it out by mid-April. Was there something that you wanted to include?
Well, if we could figure out the mechanics of the screen buying before that.
It seems like a tight time.
It does. Okay, so
not this time. All right, we have reached 5:40. Johnny, are you any final words?
That's it.
So can the distribution question be brought up to the board when Johnny gets a quote at the next meeting and then resolved so we can make this happen?
Presumably. There was also, Johnny, you were also needed to send the actual like material to the board members. You mentioned at our March meeting that you were going to send the material to the board members for them to see it before they voted on.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do the entire package.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Johnny, can you get me the information? I'm going to bring it to my board in the April meeting.
Okay.
For approval.
Okay.
Okay. In that case, we'll do committee reports at a later date. Unless there's any final comments, then we are adjourned.
Thank you.